We're going to read Romans chapter 8. First four verses, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verses 1 to 4. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. Lord, so we pray now that you would come and speak to us, that you would plant your truth deep into our hearts and into our minds, that you would help us and enable us this week to walk according to the Spirit, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. At seminary, theological college, as we called it in those days, I used to organize the football games, played with other seminaries. One day, we were a bit late. I didn't quite stick to the speed limit on this occasion. But just before we got to the football ground, I wasn't sure where it was. I slowed down in order to find the street and so that we could go into the right place. And I slowed down significantly and then found the place and went in. A week later, I received the notice of speeding fine at that place where I went the slowest of all places. So I just ignored it. I didn't even think about it. And one of my classmates came to me one day about a few weeks later and he said, "Do you know that you have to be in court today?" I said, "I don't know." He discovered somehow that I was supposed to be in court that day for the speeding fine because I completely ignored it. He said, "You've got to attend court, otherwise you'll be locked up." So he took me to court so that I could attend this thing. And the judge was very humorous, so was the prosecutor, and I explained to them, and they said, "Well, the camera doesn't lie. You've been caught. You have to pay the fine." And the prosecutor said, "Well, since he's a theological student, we need people to work in the jails. Can't we jail him for 10 days so that he can do community service?" And eventually I was fined, very little in South African money, but I was still fined and I was condemned and I had to pay the fine because I committed a trespass. In Romans 5:16, Paul says, "Judgment came from one offense, resulted in condemnation." Judgment that came from one offense resulted in condemnation. There was an offense, there was judgment, and there was condemnation. And that counts for all people, every single one, all human beings, nobody excluded. An offense, judgment, condemnation. And Paul says in Romans 3, verse 8, that the condemnation that is pronounced on the offense is just. Why? Because it's a just God pronouncing the condemnation. It's not an unjust judge. It is a just judge. So our guilt, the fact that we've committed an offense, our guilt, it condemns us. And there's a judgment pronounced on it. And that's true of all humanity. The Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And even though we don't get it in our heads and we may not understand everything about it, especially when it comes to children and babies, the Bible is clear that all people, without exception, has committed an offense and is therefore guilty and is therefore condemned. death comes from sin that leads to condemnation. And that condemnation is, what is that condemnation? Is that we will experience the wrath of God. That's the condemnation that we is pronounced upon us. Now that's the truth, right? That's the truth. We can't escape it. But that's not the whole truth. That's half of the truth. Because there are other parts of the Bible that completes the truth. And Romans 8 has been called the best chapter in the whole Bible. Right? Everybody jumps to verses 28 and the rest. God works all things for good for those who love the Lord. But Romans 8 starts with the best news imaginable for a Christian. No condemnation for those who are in Christ. I thought we're all condemned. How do we get from all condemned to no condemnation for those who are in Christ? It is the best news a believer can ever hear. No condemnation. I think if you turn to your Bibles, or if the verses on the, yeah, there it is. It says, therefore there is now. That's a lot of words before no, right? But if you read the Greek text, it starts with no condemnation. It's emphatic. It's great. It's absolute. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And the hymn that we will sing later by Charles Wesley brings it out and expresses this truth. And can it be? And Wesley says, no condemnation now I dread. No condemnation I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. It's the best news ever. Condemned and then no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And that is what Paul is saying to believing people. Did you notice that? To those who are in Christ Jesus. Because the truth of the matter is that there is condemnation for those who are not in Christ Jesus. What are you talking about, says the atheist? We live, we die, and that's it. That's it. There's no condemnation. There's no life after death. We don't have to worry about that. It's just that we live now and we die, and that's the end of it. The universalist will say, well, everybody will be saved in the end, so we don't have to worry about condemnation. Every single person who ever lived will be saved in the end, because God is a loving God after all. And he will not send anybody to condemnation, to hell, whatever it is that people will experience. Then you talk to the good person, and the good person says, as long as I live a good life and obey the laws of the country, I know that I will be okay, there will be no condemnation for me. But that's not what the scripture says. Two Christian writers spoke about this. The one is a man called Rob Bell. Rob Bell wrote a book called Love Wins. Rob Bell is basically a universalist. Rob Bell says, in the end, because of the love of God that is emphasized, he doesn't concentrate and he doesn't look at the justice of God. He simply speaks about the love of God and he says, all people will be saved. And then you have a man called Steve Chalk, who is still around. Steve Chalk came out with a book in the early 2000s called The Lost Gospel of Jesus. And Steve Chalk speaks about the fact that the lost gospel is the gospel that all people will be saved. It's basically the same as Rob Bell. The word sinner, he says, was made up by Pharisees who didn't like people and called them sinners. But these are not really people who do things wrong. They are just a word that was made up by the Pharisees to degrade people. But in the end, all people will be okay. That's not the gospel. That is not the gospel of all. They haven't read Romans chapters 1 to 5. Romans chapters 1 to 5 makes it very clear that all people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Makes it very clear there is no one righteous, no, not even one. Makes it very clear that whether you're Jew or Gentile, you have fallen short. And therefore, by one man's sin, death came into the world. Death spread to all because all sinned. That's what Romans 5 verse 12 says. So they haven't read Romans, really, to be speaking in those terms. And Paul makes the argument that we are all human beings. All human beings are condemned. He makes that argument very clear. Adam sinned. That sin brought death into the world. That sin affected all human beings to the extent that every part of humanity is affected. Not just your flesh, your body, but your mind. Every single part of you is affected by that. And that brought judgment into the world. And that judgment is condemnation. The judgment on that is condemnation for all men. So in Romans 5, Paul says, verse 16, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. And that condemnation is to all people. He says it again in verse 18 of Romans 5. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men. When Paul uses the word men, he speaks about people, humanity. Okay? He's not speaking about males. He's speaking about humanity. One trespass led to condemnation for all men. So we are all condemned. We all face the wrath of God. Then we get to Romans 8 verse 1. And it's just the best news ever. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing whatsoever for any of the sins you have committed, are committing, and will commit. There will be no condemnation whatsoever at all for your sins. Best news ever. The best news anybody can receive. You will not taste at any time the punishment of God. Never. The believer will not at any time taste the punishment of God. Will never be condemned. Will never experience the wrath of God. It's wonderful, marvelous news. But how do we get from being condemned to now no condemnation? How do we get there? Well, Paul tells us, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You were set free. You were set free from what? He says it, from the law of sin and death. Trespass that brought sin and death into the world led to condemnation. But the law of the Spirit sets you free from that law. That law is overpowering. The law of the Spirit overpowers the law of sin and death and sets you free from that law, so that everyone who is in Christ will not be condemned at any point. If you read the full verse of Romans 5, verse 18, it says, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification for all men. So we get from condemnation to no condemnation because the Spirit has set us free from this law that we have to die and that we will be condemned. The Spirit set us free from that law if we are believers. So if you think about it, there are two opposing laws. The one is the law of gravity, and a plane is about to take off, and the law of gravity says, you ain't going anywhere. And the plane is going, and the law of gravity pulls down, and the law of aerodynamics says, watch me. And the stronger law will win. Do you see? And the stronger law is the Spirit of life that sets you free from the law of sin and death. That one overcomes the law of sin and death. And therefore there is no condemnation for the one who is in Christ. And Wesley's song is just so magnificent. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. Quickly God responded, and I awoke, the dungeon flamed with light, my chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, I went forth and followed thee. It happened like that because of the Spirit that comes and sets us free. Now, how did this happen? How did it happen that we came to that place? Well, it says in verse 3, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. We move from condemnation to no condemnation. The Spirit has set us free, and the reason that happened is because God took the initiative to make it happen. God took the initiative by sending his Son so that we can be set free. You see, the law can only show us our sin. The law can only show us the results of our sin. But the law is not a savior. The law can't save us. So we are left in sin, we are left in death, we are left in condemnation. But God didn't leave us in our misery. God didn't leave us there. God took the initiative and God sent his Son to take us out of that miserable condition and to set us free. God did that. You didn't do it. You did not do a thing. What did you bring to the party? Sin. You did not do a thing. God did it. He took the initiative. You didn't just drown in your sin, as people say, you're drowning in your sin. You didn't just drown in your sin. You were dead in your sins, Ephesians 2. You were absolutely dead in your sins. You couldn't be resuscitated by the law or by anything else. God had to do something himself to bring you to life again, to set you free again. And he did it by sending his own Son. He did the impossible. And John says in John 1 verse 13, you were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. You couldn't even will it if you wanted to. Nor of the will of man, but of God. You were born of God. Nobody's will caused you to be saved. You didn't have the willpower to save yourself. It was not of flesh and blood. It was by the will of God. And how did he do it? He did it through his Son. That's what verse 3 means. He did it by sending his son in the likeness of flesh and as an offering for sin. The law, if you want to go to heaven, there's only two ways to go. Perfection, by keeping to the law and keeping the law perfectly. Perfect obedience. Absolutely no shortcomings. James 2 verse 10, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it all. So if you want to go to heaven by being a good person, you can't just be a good person, you have to be perfect to the law. And if you fail in one, you failed in all. You're miserable. There's no point. And you cannot ever keep the law perfect. But Jesus can. He can. He can keep the law perfect. And he did it. He kept the law perfectly. And he came in our place, sending his Son in the likeness of flesh as an offering for sin. He came in our place. He lived a perfect life. He was obedient to the Father, even to the point of death. And he dealt with our problem because we couldn't deal with it. Nobody else could deal with it. He took our sin. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He even set us free from our condemnation. So Paul says in Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a trustworthy saying and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's it. That was his mission. to save sinners. If he didn't do it, we would have been miserable and we would have all been still condemned. But Christ came into this world to save sinners and to set us free from the law of sin and the law of death. Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in prison. He was released and he wrote in his book, "As I finally walked through those gates, I felt even at the age of 71 that my life was beginning anew." That's what happens to the Christian. When you become a believer, your life begins anew. It's a completely new life. Set free from everything that has bound you and that has kept you, and no longer condemned. When you were converted, you were finally set free. It's by the Spirit of God. And all of this is because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of it. Notice that Paul says that our salvation is dependent entirely upon God and upon His Son. Entirely. There's nothing in this text that speaks about us and what we've done. Nothing. It's entirely about God, the Spirit, and the Son. Have you noticed that? Three in one God has worked it all out so that we can be saved. So Jesus, Paul says, is the one that came into this world and he took on flesh and he was given as an offering for sin. And because of that, he condemned sin in the flesh. Your hope is found in Christ alone and nobody else. That's what Paul is saying. Absolutely nothing else, nobody else. He is the one. He is the one. In Philippians 2, Paul says, he did not even hold on to his, I'm going to paraphrase this, godness. He didn't even hold on to that. He let it all go. And he became one of us. He humbled himself, is the way Paul describes it. Emptying himself. He let go of his godness. So that he didn't become like a superman who could use God powers and not really be one of us. He let go of it. And he became truly one of us. Took on flesh and was born as a little baby. Humbled himself, becoming obedient to the Father, even to the point of death. The 12 hours that Jesus endured, that 12 hours was the most excruciating time of his life. He could have called upon a legion of angels to save him. He could have even done it himself. But he'd endured the cross. Why? Hebrews says, why? For the joy that was set before him. That's why he endured. He endured the shame. He endured the suffering. How would you feel? I know how this feels. When I was a youth worker in Bolton one Friday night, I know what it is. Somebody spat in my face. It's the most disgusting thing that can happen. Somebody spitting in your face. Even the other young people who were watching it got angry at the young person that did it. Imagine Jesus being spat in his face over and over again, being beaten, being whipped, being lashed. And then the next day they say to him, if that's not enough, there's a crossbeam. You're going to walk with that on your back and you're going to walk through the streets all the way to the place where you're going to be crucified. No wonder he fell and couldn't bear it anymore. Why did he go through it? Why not stop halfway and said, I've had enough? Why sweat droplets of blood in the garden, knowing what he was going to endure? Because he was going to become this offering for sin, for us, so that we could be set free from the condemnation that was staring us in the face if he didn't come and do it for us. He humbled himself even to the point of death. Sin was such a way that God himself had to come and rescue us from our predicament. There's a song that goes, thank you for the cross, the mighty cross, that God himself, who gave himself for such as us, and every day we change into his image more and more, and by the cross we've truly right? We've truly been secured. And we stand amazed at it every day at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul never got over it. If you read Paul's accounts in the letters, the day that he got saved, he never got over it. It was just so amazing to him that God would take this murderer, persecutor of the church, and totally transform him. He never got over it. Three times in the book of Acts, he gives his testimony about what God has done for him. So amazed at the cross. Absolutely stunned by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we make too light of sin. It cost the Son of God his life. How can it be light? But he did it so that we can be set free. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all, one act of righteousness leads to justification of all men. So we've moved from condemnation, and now we are not condemned. The reason why we're not condemned is because of the fact that we are justified. That's what Paul means. There's these two contrasting things. You're either justified or you're condemned. One person leads us to condemnation. The other person leads us to justification. Do you see? And so therefore we are not condemned because we are justified. And now you ask, well, what does that mean to be justified? Well, suppose on that day when I stood in the court and there came Jesus physically and he said to the judge, I'll take his place. And you find me guilty and I take full responsibility for everything that he has done and I'll take his penalty and I take his punishment. And the judge says, okay. So the judge can't both condemn me now and Jesus, right? Because either one of us has to be condemned, but we can't both be condemned for that offense. And he takes the punishment. But because he's perfect, he says to me, you know what, Jeff? You see this garment? This is my garment. This is a garment of righteousness. I'm going to put that on you. So you're not condemned anymore. You are righteous now. That's justification. He took our place for sin, the punishment, and then he gave us his righteousness. So that Paul says in Corinthians 5:21, he became sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. An exchange has happened. So I'm not condemned because I'm justified. And I will never be condemned again. Because Christ was punished once for all of my sins. And I receive his justification and he took my punishment. So there's either you get condemned or you are justified. And it all depends on your status with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are with Christ, if you are in Christ, you are justified and you will not be condemned. If you are in Christ, you're not guilty. If you are outside of Christ, you're guilty. If you are in Christ, you now already, don't wait for it, have eternal life. If you are outside of Christ, you are destined for hell. If you are in Christ, there are pleasures forevermore at God's right hand. If you are outside of Christ, there's only weeping and gnashing of teeth waiting for you. It's all about your status with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation. You're either condemned or you're justified, but there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So God has done something. He sent his Son. Jesus has done something. He has come into this world and he died on the cross and he rose again. So how does that make me justified then? Does that automatically just makes me justified? No, it doesn't, does it? Because the cross wasn't an impersonal thing. It's very personal. It's very personal. So you are good. You are a good 1689 church. So if I was to ask you, tell me the five solas, you're going to just recite it like that, and you're going to tell me that we are saved through faith alone. In Christ alone, through the agent of faith. You've got to personalize it. All of that is happened and has happened and is provided, but you can't just get it. It comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Alistair Begg gives a brilliant illustration of this. It's about 4 minutes of video on YouTube. I've watched it over and over. And he speaks about the man on the cross, right? It's just brilliant. He says the man on the cross now, you can imagine, is going to heaven now. He's died and he's gone to heaven, and there the angel at the gates of heaven says to him, what are you doing here? He says, I don't know. Well, do you understand the doctrines of grace? I've never heard of it before. Well, can you explain the doctrine of Scripture? No, I can't. Can you explain justification? I've just explained justification to you. Can you explain justification? I don't even know that word. Well, what are you doing here? I don't know. So he goes and he calls a superintendent angel. And the superintendent angel asked the man, what are you doing here? He said, I don't know. But the man on the middle cross said, I can come. And that's why I'm here. Faith. Remember me. Right? Remember me. That's all he had to say. That was a sign of faith, personalizing everything that Jesus did. And Jesus saying to him today, you will be with me in paradise. Never baptized, never became a church member, didn't know any of the doctrines, but is there because of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you need. Everybody needs to put their faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go and you do street evangelism that you do, I don't know if you've encountered people that says to you, that doesn't make sense. Right? People will say, are you telling me that just because you have put your faith in the Lord, that you will go to heaven and I'm a good person and I won't go to heaven? I say, yes. Are you telling me that if you're a murderer and you have put your faith in Jesus, that you will go to heaven, and somebody who's lived a good life, who's never murdered anybody, will not go to heaven? I said, yes. And they said, that doesn't make sense. I said, no, it doesn't. But that's what the Bible says. And faith is the very thing about just accepting it and believing God's word. That's it. I believe God's word. It doesn't have to make sense to me, right? Who can understand the mind of God? There's a wonderful hymn. It's called My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. Do you know that? It's a beautiful hymn. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. And then it goes, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It was enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. I don't have to argue about it. That's enough. He died and he died for me. Do you see? That's what Paul is saying. My sister got married, moved to Johannesburg. During my unemployment years, I went to stay with her in Johannesburg and to find a job. I did eventually. I stayed with her and with her husband. He was into some shady things. One night, he came home with a group of friends, early hours in the morning, very early hours in the morning, 10 of them, I think, even more, all wearing black. Very jolly, very happy. And then they brought things into the living room, and soon the living room was filled with boxes. It was very clear what they've done. People store things at warehouses when they move. They've gone to the warehouse and helped themselves illegitimately to these things and brought it there. There were all sorts of electrical stuff. They were celebrating and it was laughing and all these things. It was very clear they committed a crime. This happened several times. There was quite a few of them. It happened several times. Sometime later, the police raided the house. They were all arrested, and they had to go to trial. All of the other guys, about 11 of them, they were dismissed. The cases against them were dismissed. But my brother-in-law, because of the fact that the stuff, the goods were at his house, he didn't have a case. So all of them were set free, although they were all part of it. They were all set free. He wasn't set free. He was jailed, and was jailed for 4 years. Okay? He served his 4 years. And he came out, continued with his life. He now is a believer, and he's serving the Lord. He was condemned by the criminal system rightly. And if he didn't change his life, he would have been condemned eternally. But he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, there is now no condemnation for him. He has been justified. He has been set free. He has been redeemed. And that is the case with every single believer, whether you have had a shady life or not, whether you have respectable sins or you have gross sins, it doesn't matter. Everyone who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, no more condemnation. It's the best news ever. Justified and put in Christ. That's who you are. One of my other favorite hymns is Before the Throne of God Above I Have a Strong and Perfect Plea. And verse 2 says, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect, spotless righteousness, the great, unchangeable, I am the King of glory and of grace. One with himself, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ, my Savior and my God. Wonderful, isn't it? Absolutely wonderful. We're going to sing, And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Savior's Blood?